Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you are listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Soul Channel at BlakeRadio.com. Please visit our sponsor, which is the book, Do You Have the Guts to Be Beautiful? This anti-aging book is available at VitalityCapsules.com/truth.
Welcome. My name is Diane Murray Ward, and I'm your host on Faceted Gems. Give thanks for our blessings. Enjoy life and loved ones now. Mentor when you can. Silence allows us to hear the inner voice and concentrate on the good. Welcome. Welcome to this episode of Faceted Gems. I am very blessed and very grateful to have as our guest tonight, Noura. Noura is the founder of sistersofhagar.org. Thank you, Noura, for joining me this evening.
It's my pleasure.
Would you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself? You have such a fantastic background that you have been able to combine in such a wonderful, helpful, holistic way. Please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been doing healing, Reiki healing, for about 25 years. I worked for a chiropractor for about 25 years. And I've been practicing yoga for about 44 years. I raised my children in it and so forth. But when you mentioned the Sisters of Hagar, we birthed that because it was such a need for us to have a meditation platform. And I live in New Jersey, and many of the sisters that come online with me twice a week really all said that they were in places where they had a hard time finding, places to meditate because they're usually far out, and if they don't drive, it's hard. So we've been doing meditation together over the phone on Mondays and Wednesdays. And then most of the sisters who meditate with me also practice Reiki. So at some point we do a little healing for one another and send it out to other people. And that's been quite – I'm so blessed for that because being still – and being quiet was something that we all agreed that very few people were doing much of that. We're always busy, and you have to stop me because I can run on like a run-on sentence.
Well, please do. It's your half hour, honey. That's why I have you on.
That's what I love. So, that's right. It was so wonderful, and I had to pray over it and to try to create something that would be not offensive to any believer, whether it was
right.
a Christian, Muslim, you know, yoga or Buddhist.
Right. Right.
We try to keep it so that it's very straight to the point. We don't have any music because even music is distracting. And
right.
And we don't do a lot of talking, you know. All the things that, you know, the litany of things that we do, and if we do too much of it, we'll get sidetracked.
Right.
And we also stick to timing because timing is very important. And you know women, they can run over the time.
Let me ask you, how did you get to this point, though? Were you, you know, you've been doing this for a very, very long time, but may I ask, what motivated you to develop this point? What were you doing before this, if you can remember?
Are you talking about the prior before being working in, as a healer or a healing
yeah.
practitioner?
Yeah.
Well, in the early days, I was in New York in the Village, and I was part of that movement of people who were trying to get people to wear your hair natural and so forth. So
okay.
I came out of the Village, and I also went back to school to be a barber. So I was like one of those in
mm-hmm.
the first resurrection of people who had to, you know, we wore our hair natural. And the whole thing
right.
about wearing your hair natural was my focus on that was to love yourself. It wasn't because we were trying to become a part of any organization. It was
right.
the ability to see yourself as you are, you know, as they say
right.
in the service, as you are, soldier. Well, as you are, sister. And once you
right.
can see yourself as you are, then you can add anything else to it.
Mm-hmm.
But you first have to
mm-hmm.
love yourself the way you were.
Right.
So
right.
that was my first occupation, I'd say.
Right. Right.
And but then when I worked for a chiropractor, I recognized that people were coming in because they hurt themselves and because of, you know, on many different levels why they would seek out a chiropractor. But one of the things I also noticed is that we have emotions that we don't – our emotional body is one of the ones that doesn't get addressed, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're finding out more and more and more that we deal with all aspects of our being, but they kind of make us sort of – when I say they, there's this universal they –
right.
we kind of dismiss our emotions. And recently there was a documentary in New York, and they really had most of it was a non-melanin show, and they were talking about how all these great people, orators, were, you know, telling people about prayer and meditation and so forth, but they were not dealing with the fact that people had emotional trauma in their lives,
mm-hmm. right.
and they weren't addressing it. So I really feel very strongly that especially women of color and women, period, but I just so happen to be born this life as a woman of color.
Right.
And I really
right.
feel that we've swept so many things under our rugs, okay?
Right, right.
And consequently, because of that, the rugs, you know, the vessels are full of the dust and the things that we packed inside of us from childhood on, and they now have begun to cause us physical maladies. And sometimes when I've done the work throughout the years, you know, people have been raped, never told
mm-hmm.
anybody. People
right.
have been, from parents being prostitutes to, I mean, one of the things that in the work you can't have judgment. So people who say and gasp every time someone says something,
right.
you would not be able to do this work if you are a gasper, okay?
Right.
You
right.
have to have love, and you have to have
right.
move from non-judgment. And the latest place that I've gone is to someone said to me on going up the food chain to the higher levels that we had to even become non-gender.
Mm-hmm.
And non-gender is the latest one for me because sometimes when we are spiritual, we're not in a gender. It's when we
right.
are human, you know, when we're working and striving to be whoever we are, we can be gender-based. But when it really comes to reaching on the higher levels to the Creator, we're genderless.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But when you said the inspiration was always, my mother said to me when we were younger, she said, you know, it wasn't a cliche, but she'd say, if you put God first, he'll put you first.
Right.
And I had that in my forehead. And no matter what we did, we always had to have some spiritual view. Now, she never told us what spiritual organization we had to belong to, but she said, you have to have something spiritual in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that was go ahead.
And you're absolutely right, because you know what? Because if you can't release that baggage or that other stuff, it'll fester. It'll limit your ability to discover and work on the other beautiful gifts that you have. And that's something that, while that weighs you down, you've lost so much time in between. And you can't grow if you carry that baggage. And you're so right. You can't be around people that are going to gasp at every single thing.
Every single thing.
Move
and
on.
The people,
exactly.
And the people, and excuse me, there's two ways of communicating. There's one of them where each one speaks and each one listens, and I think somehow there's some cultural thing that we talk almost simultaneously. So for any listeners, please know it's not running over you. It's just sometimes it's a cultural thing. We're both having the same idea at the same point. But
and we're excited about it, that's all.
Yes, passion. It's really called passion. But, the fact that I'm, I have a daughter that's 57. I have, so I'm not a baby anymore. And I now have not age-defiant, but I am, we have knowledge, wisdom, and now we're going towards understanding. And the understanding is our aha moment. So what you just said is so true. Because take, for instance, I was 50 years old before I realized my mom had gotten raped by an uncle. And what really came to my mind is that she was a Jehovah Witness, and when she became a Jehovah Witness and, whatever way that goes, she felt that her love of Jehovah, that's a word, and her acceptance of everything that came with that had just swept everything under the rug, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw that pattern in so many people, because we as women – And please don't hate me, but, when I was growing up, we talked about our hair and our nails and our children and our careers and things, but we didn't really talk about our pain.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because depend on what level of pain you were talking about, you have to have someone who could really hear you.
That's right.
Okay? So most people that are non-melanin, they see therapists. So if something is wrong, they could go to a therapist. It's been my experience that Blue Shield Blue Cross and many of them would only give you 5 visits for a therapist, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it had to be, we had to develop, I think the creator, sort of knocked on our doors and said, we need more female, and I'm not saying anything about males because this originally came from male-dominated societies, but we needed more women with compassion that could work in the field as healing practitioners, no matter which you come under, whether it's a psych therapist, whether it's this or that, but we needed more people who could listen.
And listening is a very difficult thing to do. Listening and hearing, I constantly have to remind people that they're two different things. Listening is when sound waves hit the tympani in your ear, and, that's hearing. That's the mechanics, the biological mechanics of hearing. But listening takes active comprehension and energy. And then people look at me and say, what? And I'm like, yeah, listening is
two more ingredients. Two more ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, two more, participation and compassion. And here's the third ingredient, and the ability to hear what people aren't saying.
Yes.
I did write a book, and the book is called Sketches of Life, And one of the, I think I can remember, I don't remember all of the words, but it says, you know, it's like the dance, and you have to hear the moves even though someone's not, you're watching and you're listening, and even though there's no sound, you're following. But that means that you have to be, what did I say, bi-hemisphere, that you have to be, not, because if you're very left brain, you've ever talked to someone and they're very logical, they're not going to hear you. Because if you cannot use the syntax to bring them on board, you know, they're going to miss you. And I really feel so empathetic towards so many young people who are committing suicide, because they're in very advanced homes sometimes where everybody is, you know, educated. And they missed the signs, they missed everything because they were not dealing with on the heart level, on the intuitive level. They were dealing more with logic.
Right.
Okay? So the cries, and when we're crying out for help, you know, when we're crying out for help, not everybody can hear the cry.
Right.
Okay? We can't always hear the cry.
And they don't always hear the cry, and sometimes they're afraid to hear the cry because they don't know. Sometimes people feel that, okay, now what do I do with this? It would be better for me to not even address it. And that's when you realize who can assist and who can't. And sometimes if you can't, it means that you have to know appropriately where to at least refer, and don't keep that information and not do anything with it. Because when there's a cry for help, it's a cry for help, and it means that since you're the one who's receiving it, that there's something you're supposed to do with it. Not sit on it, not sweep it under the rug, not try to forget about it, not try to change the subject, but address it in whichever way you can, but address it.
Here goes, you're so on point, and here goes the dilemma. It depends on what's in our toolkit. If I'm in real estate and I'm some, you know, and I'm dealing with things and equations, I may not hear you. What I found, and the one subject I wanted to make, when I was exposed to the energy healing was wonderful for me because I felt that the Creator wanted us to know what energy was. I mean, we know what a cell phone is. We realize that a cell phone has no wires except when we charge it, and we can get a call from Canada, from Africa, from France in a second because they're using radio waves. Well, we have the same faculties inside of us to be able to pick up energy, to be able to hear without people talking to us. You know, back in the day, they used to call it the sixth sense, the intuition. Mother's wit, whatever.
Right.
When I realized the importance of energy base, which is Reiki, and Reiki came to me, I think, in 1988, 1992, and I didn't know, I was clueless. When the universe wants you to know something, they like clueless people. You know why? Because clueless people, they don't ask a whole lot of questions. They don't have all the science. Yeah, so much of what they've given me in this lifetime is because there's a part of me that's clueless. So when they gave me, if I
that's
had to really
innocence.
Know.
That's innocence. Innocence.
Clueless. By God.
I prefer innocence.
Yeah, innocence.
Innocence and humble.
So once they asked me, someone said, well, we're going to go see a person who has the virus, and their parents are asking us, myself and another sister, to come and work on this young man. And so when I got there, you know, you don't have anything in your head that says, you have to believe that if God calls you to do something, if he gives you the vision, he gives you the position. And that's really when he gets the clueless. But they don't ask a whole lot of questions. The only thing I always ask is, please give me a candle, because I know God loves light, and I don't want to be no place where it's dark, okay? So if I can light a candle, I'm good. And, you know, we found out later that he had spinal meningitis. His mother didn't know it. I didn't know it. And the only thing that I could say, that if you are, you know, many are called, few are chosen. So when you are really called to do something, like I say, The Creator had to be with you because you didn't know any better. Now, if I was logically inclined, I would have asked 100 questions, okay?
Right.
I probably
right.
would have asked questions, wrote things down, but
right.
I didn't do any of that. And I was really grateful that you could be used sometimes in your innocence. And so I feel that those who are called to do and to be agents of light or healing, there's so many catchy words, I don't know which one we want to use. You probably have a cadre of them.
No. What it is that I was fortunate enough to have Neil Blake, who allowed me to do this show on Rainbow Soul, and that I feel that whoever I talk to and whatever segments I'm able to broadcast and get out, there's a reason. And I don't necessarily have to know the reason, but I have to believe, and I do believe, that it reaches somebody. And I'm not interested in how many numbers of people, and I probably will never know the people, but the point is that it has reached somebody and that it has somehow served a purpose. And I have
Ooh.
To believe, and I do believe that. I do believe that.
Okay, we're jumping around, and please, audience, whoever you are, I hope you can jump on kangaroos as quickly as we can. But when, you know, I did go back to school for a couple of things. I went back to school for social work. I went back to school for drama therapy, psychodrama. Numerology, astrology, everything I could learn, philosophy, other religions, became a minister only so that I could marry people. But here's what I got. I got to go back to the beginning, and I was fascinated with Abraham and Isaac and Ishmael. So when we
I'm having a problem. I'm sorry. I'm having a problem with the station for some reason. But keep talking because I'm sure somehow I'll get it back. Go ahead. I'm listening. Go ahead, baby.
Okay. So when we started to do, when we came up with doing the meditation group, which is a sister and
mm-hmm.
I. She said, what will we call it? What will we call this? And I was, my eyes were closed. I was laying across the bed, and the word came down, Sisters of Hagar.
Mm-hmm.
And Hagar gave birth to Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham was the father of the three religions.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went back and we studied the Hebrew version, the Christian version, and the Islamic version of Abraham, and understood always that Hagar was from Egypt, and she gave birth to Ishmael. And one of the characteristics of her that I felt the reason that the name came to us is that she struggled, and that she
mm-hmm.
was she had to leave. Sarah asked her to ask Abraham to leave once her son was 14 and she became pregnant and had another and had Isaac, which is the birth of Judaism. And so
right.
when they asked her to leave, it is written and documented that she had to walk with her son across
mm-hmm.
all of that terrain. The same
right.
way women who are walking, not knowing where we're going, but know we're being led, okay?
Right.
And we don't ask
right.
any questions. Same
right.
same as Hagar, but she got to where she was going.
Right.
She got back to Egypt. And the acronym for her is that God hears her prayers. And
mm-hmm.
I thought when Hagar's spirit came to us, that it was a way for us to acknowledge that even though
right.
it looks bleak and dim sometimes, that God hears
right.
our prayers.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, and you never know where that path is going to take you. You never know where you're going to be led. You don't know what that's going to look like. You have no clue, but you have to believe that what you're doing, it's purposeful. It's purposeful.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, it's like whatever is giving birth tonight, it's a message, and I think God wants us. I hate to put his name out there so much, because I wish I could call it, you know, spirit, creator, all of the above, not to offend anybody. But, you know, it's like we're being prepared for something, and I feel very strongly that we got this last month in December to try to get some of it right, because
okay.
it's been a tremendous year, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you're saying and your purpose for having this show, hopefully, is a call out that we need to come in the inside. We need to get inside because that's where everything is. It's inside of us. And the whole thing about having the meditation was for us to be quiet.
Right.
Just to be, and it's much better and easier to be quiet with a group of people. I mean, you have to do, you know, it's a one by one. We don't go two by two. We're born
right.
one by one, SMU twins or triplets. But
right.
you've got to do the inner work. And if you're blessed to have like minds with you, it's a blessing. He said, well, two or three are gathered, I'm amongst you.
Right.
You know? And
right.
It's been my observation. It's not true. It's not, you know, there's something called truth and true. But in the 44 years that I have been on the path of meditating, I found that we are very limited in numbers for people of color. Now,
mm-hmm.
color, if you go to India, color, if you go to different countries and we spread color out in yellow and different colors, yes, there are a lot. But
mm-hmm.
in the United States, for people who get still and be quiet, the numbers are not as advanced as the people who have more of the traditional way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
right,
even
right.
when we go to services, you really have more than 5 minutes of quiet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if you can get 20 minutes, and you get a chance to go in and be reflective.
Right.
Reflective first. Contemplative.
Right.
And hopefully
right.
at some point, only God knows when we really are just completely wrapped up in him, her, they.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be careful. If I say him, they say her.
Right.
Say him,
right.
her, they say they.
Right. Right. But whatever that spirit is, whatever that power is, I think, you know, and you're so right. I think that it requires the individual to prioritize what they do in their life and to find those times to meditate or to pray or to just be silent or just to think. That's something you have to make time to do, but you prioritize it for yourself. And it requires someone understanding that for me to get to my inner self, for me to really actualize the best I can possibly be, which is why, you know, I think Faceted Gems really coins what I'm saying this evening. Everyone has the potential. Everyone has that essence. Everyone has that spirit, but you have to be attentive to it. And as we said before, Nora, you have to listen. And if you don't listen, then you miss the message. And, you know, Nora, that's why I'm so grateful. I'm so glad that you were able to be on the air tonight. I told you 30 minutes goes very quickly. I'm going to have to end the show, but I just wanted to let you know how much I appreciate the fact that you have been on the air. And, you know, I have an hour program next year. I'm going to ask you to come on. That's the one time I have four guests on, and I'm going to ask you, and I want to thank you again so much for being on Faceted Gems. Ladies and gentlemen, Nora has been a wonderful guest. Thank you so much for listening. Lead. Love everyone. Empower. Assist when you can. Dream and believe in the positive energy within. Thank you so much, Nora. And I leave you, everyone, with the wonderful music of Brian Snow, who was grateful enough to, I'm grateful enough to do my theme song. Thank you, Nora, and good night.
Good night.